Hello and welcome to the Echo Service. As part of your introduction to the Echo Service, I wanted to talk to you about a few aspects of the service that are unique and answer some questions that you may have. First question would be, what do we do and how do we do it? Well, the purpose of the Echo Service is twofold. We are there to provide echo to people in the operating room and the entire perioperative area, as well as the cardiac ICU. So what does that mean? That means that we're going to be doing echoes in pre-op, echoes in PACU, echoes in the operating room. We may be called up to the ICU to do echoes. And we're going to do that as a team. So there's going to be an echo attending, and there's going to be an echo resident. There may be a fellow on. There may be a second resident. And then we have two sonographers that work with us. Walker Thomas, who has a role in the Department of Anesthesiology and does some education work in the College of Public Health, and then Andrew Malishok, who's a sonographer that the hospital's hired to support us. So in addition to providing patient care and echo support, we also want to provide education. So that's the second arm of the echo service, is education, and that education is for you, the resident or fellow that is on the service. Now let's talk about some day-to-day aspects. The echo service starts at 7 and ends at 4. There's an echo phone, and in the Trello app, you'll find a V card that you can put in your phone for the echo phone. But somebody needs to be carrying that phone between 7 and 4, Monday through Friday during normal work days. In the morning, we're going to meet in the team room, and hopefully the night before, someone will have looked at the operating schedule to figure out what cases we have in the OR that may or may not need echo support. So we're going to come and meet at 7 in the morning, and then we're going to get to work. Sometimes we have cases that start right away, and sometimes we have scheduled cases that start a little bit later on. We work around those cases, and because our primary goal is patient care and taking care of those patients in the perioperative area. So we work around those things when we do the other core parts, which is the education. Those educational parts, something that you should do every day would be some kind of a lecture or discussion with the attending. You want to scan somebody, either an actual patient or you want to find someone to scan. So that could be one of the sonographers or it could be the attending that's on. And then you want to review a couple studies with the attending. Now, the attending is going to have a quality assurance responsibility when they're on the echo service. And every day they're going to need to review two studies from the prior day or a couple days prior. And so ideally, you as the echo resident or fellow would then be reviewing those with the faculty. So those are the three core parts. Make sure you get some kind of didactics education, make sure you do some scanning, and make sure you're reviewing pictures. In addition to that, you should be reviewing other echoes on your own, and we can utilize that house officer's learning form, again, which could be found in Trello. You can download and print that form, and you can fill it out, which will allow you to count another echo as reviewed. So the goals of the service are to provide echo support into the perioperative area. Now, why would we do that? There's so many people in the department that do echo. Well, when you are watching more than one room at a time, doing an echo in the operating room can be pretty time consuming. And so the echo service can provide that. Also, it's an opportunity for folks that aren't comfortable doing echo in certain situations to call the echo service. So the echo service is going to be there for all non-cardiac perioperative procedures that require echo. That may be a hemodynamic evaluation in an unstable patient. It may be a baseline evaluation in someone who we don't know what's going on. Or it could be the beginning of a procedure that we believe is going to have large fluid shifts, maybe a liver transplant or a major vascular procedure. Get that probe in there so we can see what things look like. We already know that they may or may not have normal function, but we want to get that probe in there, get some baseline data at the time of the operation so that we can go back and look at it if need be. So that's kind of the goal of the service. Sometimes we go up to the ICU and we take pictures in the afternoon if there's some downtime. And otherwise, we want to use that time to perform educational duties. So with all this in mind, I want to get to the goals. So what are the goals for the residents? What's your goal when you're on the echo service? Now, I think it's important to ask yourself that question and come up with a personal goal. I think that you may or may not have a future desire for ECHO in your practice, but I think while you're here, it's important to get some experience. So I think one goal would be to become more comfortable with both transthoracic and transesophageal. I think another good goal would be to really understand the exam sequence so that you can get that in your mind and make sure that you can do it pretty easily without thinking much about it. And one goal that I would like to challenge all of you to consider would be approaching the basic PTE and trying to pass that basic PTE from the National Board of ECHO and get certified. That is something that could be done by all of our residents. And we're going to continue to give you tools and opportunities to get that done. But being on the ECHO service is a huge part because you're going to get the numbers from the ECHO service. You're going to get more numbers while you're in residency. So that's mostly what we do during the day. Remember, we are going to go to pre-op, see those patients if we can before they go to the operating room. We may get called into the operating room. And two more points. The first is consults. I think when you're the ECHO resident and you're carrying the phone, sometimes it can be a little bit tough when somebody calls and says, hey, I need you to come do an ECHO. And I think the reason that it's tough is that we do want to come and do ECHOs for people. We want to provide that service. But without a real question, it's hard to know what it is that we're trying to accomplish. So when you're answering that phone call and they say, hey, can you come to OR9 or something? We need an ECHO. I think the question you should really ask is, why do you need an ECHO? That doesn't mean that we don't want to do the ECHO. We just need to know what the question is. Do they have a murmur? Are they unstable? Are they coding? Are they bleeding? We just don't know where they're at. Having a sense of what they're trying to figure out, other than to just get a picture, is really helpful. You know, getting blood work, for example, without any reason to believe that anything's wrong is not particularly helpful. And the same can be true for ECHO. The last thing I want to talk to you before we wrap up this introductory talk is what happens at 4 o'clock. Well, at 4 o'clock, the ECHO service slows and kind of shuts down. We have sonographers, but they are supposed to be done by 4. So we try to wrap everything up. So you may have some probes that are out there in patients at 4 o'clock. And what we've done is come up with a list of all the attendings in the department and what their preferences would be. So for example, let's say the ECHO service is taking care of a patient in room 9. And it's 4 o'clock and the probe is still in. Well, under those circumstances, it would be the ECHO attending's job to reach out to the clinical director and say, hey, is this person that's in OR4 that's staffing it, are they getting relieved or are they sticking around? Because if they're getting relieved, you'd want to talk to the person who's coming in at 4 o'clock, because often the on-call person comes in at 4. So whoever's going to take that case, you want to ask them what their preference is, or you can look at the preference list. If that attending wants the ECHO, then we're going to give them a formal handoff of all of our findings, and that attending will be responsible for the ECHO moving forward. But if they don't want the ECHO, and that's okay, because ECHO is really above the standard of care at this point, then we would remove the probe, clean it, finalize the exam, or finalize the study so that it will be sent to the database, and then we can go ahead and write the report. So that's how we handle stuff at the end of the day, and I think it's important to recognize it as it's coming up. You shouldn't have to figure this out at 4. You can probably tell that it's going to happen, so at 3 o'clock you can start working on that, and that gives us all a chance to wrap up the day. So that's kind of a brief overview of how the ECHO service works. Please send me an email or call me if you have any questions or concerns. And welcome to the ECHO service. We're excited that you're here, and we're excited that we get to do it. Thanks.